This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, man. Mike, this is kind of a tough one. Obviously, we know that CU, they start their spring practices this week. But certainly under a heavy cloud, Colorado quarterback Dominique Ponder died early Sunday morning in a single car crash, according to police, at the age of 23 years old. Colorado Athletic Director Fernando Lovo said the entire CU Athletics family is devastated at the tragic passing of Dominique Ponder. He really showed the values of passion, enthusiasm, leadership, toughness, and intelligence that were revered by his teammates and coaches alike. Our hearts go out to his family and all of his teammates during this difficult time. According to the Colorado State Patrol, the crash occurred at around 3 a.m. Sunday in Boulder County. Police said Ponder was driving a 2023 Tesla Model 3, lost control on a curve, and the car went across the eastbound lane, striking a guardrail and then an electrical line pole before rolling down an embankment and catching on fire. Just absolutely brutal. And I got this from Curtis Snyder at CU. Given today's devastating news, wanted to provide an update as several have reached out asking. Their media availability is still planning to go as scheduled, but they're going to kind of shift the tone of how those questions are directed and everything. Just devastating, man. I mean, he was a transfer from Bethune-Cookman, spent the last 2 years with Colorado. Devastating. Coach Prime wrote on X, "Dom was one of my favorites. He was loved, respected, and a born leader. Let's pray for all that knew him and had the opportunity to be in his presence. Lord, you're receiving a good one." Just tough. New offensive coordinator for the Buffs, Brennan Marion, reposted Deion Sanders' statement and also commented, said, "Getting that call from his dad today didn't feel real. Love you, Dom. God cover his family and our team, especially our quarterback room." Whew, that's a tough one. That is certainly a tough one. So I actually had a plan, you know, yesterday, kind of going through some stuff. Keeler put a piece together about the Buffs and everything, but I just, you know, I think we'll give that a break today, and we'll talk a little Colorado Buffaloes as they, Mike, we can talk about replacing coaches, and coaches are leaving, the Warren Sapp stuff. A lot of that came out over the weekend, and I'm not going to get into it today, but preparing for spring ball, like a day after you lose one of your teammates like this. And I know they're still investigating the wreck and everything, and more of that will come out. But that's a tough one. I don't know how at any level. That's how they're going to start. They're basically starting their off season and essentially their season, because the season, we know, people will tell you, starts back in spring when you get going in spring ball. And obviously there's debate as when that's going to start at some point, if teams will use it later in the summer. But think about the cloud that hangs over you And obviously what's going on emotionally with your young athletes and everything, just, yeah, that's a tough, tough story. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Some NFL news today. The Kansas City Chiefs are set to release Juwan Taylor in a cap-cutting move. Their right tackle. They informed him that he will be released before the start of the NFL's new league year, barring a trade. Sources told ESPN the move will save the Chiefs $20 million against the salary cap and will allow them to be under the cap when the league year starts in just 9 days on March 11th. It's another cap-trimming move by the Chiefs, who also released veteran defensive end Mike Dana and restructured quarterback Patrick Mahomes' contract last month. And they could try to create even more space, maybe trying to make some big moves, maybe going to release linebacker Drew Tranquil and tight end Noah Gray while restructuring the contracts of pass rusher Chris Jones and their center Creed Humphrey. The Chiefs entered the offseason more than $57 million over the cap. So they're going to be trimming aggressively just to get back to whole. So I don't know if they're going to be big time players. And here's a big one: the Houston Texans are acquiring running back David Montgomery in a trade with the Lions for their offensive lineman Juice Scruggs and two draft picks. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter on Monday. So we're moving things around, man. Things are certainly cooking. Also, on Friday, Mike, we didn't have a show, but did you see the McMillan news? Jaquan McMillan news? Very good news there. They're placing a second-round tender on McMillan that will pay him $5.8 million in 2026, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. So, as a restricted free agent, McMillan will still be eligible to negotiate with other teams. If another team makes McMillan an offer that Denver chooses not to match, the team would have to trade a second-round pick to the Broncos for Jaquan McMillan. That is a huge, great move right there, because worst-case scenario, you don't match it, but you get a second-round pick, and you still like your cornerback room, assuming they don't trade Riley Moss, which was some of the conversation back in February that they could potentially. A.J. Brown swap was mentioned a few times there. But if you keep everything as is with Patrick Surtain and Riley Moss, well, you have your one and two, and then you see if Jahdae Barron can take a leap. But now, odds are, Mike, I mean, do you see a team wanting to pursue McMillan, knowing, hey, not only we got to try to give him an amount that the Broncos won't be interested in matching, but we're also going to have to part ways with a second-round pick? I don't know if teams are jumping at that, and that would be a huge move for the Broncos.
They'd have to be a team that is desperate for a corner.
Yeah, a team that probably thinks they're a corner away. But McMillan, there's no mistake about it. He was a key contributor all season, obviously special in that Bills game, coming up with that maybe the most important play of the season. But I think this is absolutely huge. He'll be probably listed as their slot cornerback, while Surtain and Riley Moss play on the outside, and then Jahdae Barron and Chris Abrams-Drain can provide coverage, I suppose, at multiple different positions, how they want to move that around.
You know what this means for the future, though?
What does this mean for the future?
You're going to have to pay him next year.
I think they'll get into a position where they decide whether or not the future is with Riley Moss or McMillan, I would imagine. Now, do you look at Riley Moss and say suddenly that puts the pressure on him even more so, because they're saying how much they value him? We're not shipping him out, or we're going to try to hold on to him. But if teams really want him, they're going to have to give up a second-round pick for him. So they're showing the value there with him. And with a guy like Riley Moss, he's still on his rookie contract. So this will be what? This will be his fourth year, Mike? Are we coming up on Riley Moss's fourth year already? I believe so. Maybe third year. But this is where you're going to have to figure out whether or not you want Riley Moss. And I think that suddenly that sends a loud message, not a negative message, but more of a just a, hey, Riley Moss, we like you here, man. We want you to be the guy. But we're also we're paying close attention to McMillan, who could override that position, and he could ultimately be a number two. I like him playing in the nickelback spot, in the slot spot too, though.
Moss has been growing with the Broncos for 3 years.
So this will be...
And he is, of those 3 years, he has started 31 games.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is, to me, this is the best case scenario. Because you have, odds are you're going to have both of those guys next season. And then you'll be at a point where you get to make a decision on both of those guys. And if McMillan plays like he did last year, you're going to probably end up paying him a decent amount. So this one worked out pretty well for the Broncos going forward. So big news there. How about NASCAR, Michael Jordan? NASCAR, Michael Jordan. Tyler Reddick wins first three races of the season, making NASCAR history. And Jordan's used to these kind of things. So I don't know much about NASCAR. But he won. He won three now. And that is a part of Michael Jordan's car. That's it. Like, that's what he that's his, the owner of all this. Pretty exciting for Michael Jordan. He wasn't very good as far as the management and ownership when it came to an NBA team, but seems to have found his footing when it comes to NASCAR.
Found the right guy who could turn left quite a bit, very fast.
Yeah. So the Toyota is co-owned. The car that he drives, that Reddick drives, is co-owned by Michael Jordan. And Reddick even said, it's one race, but it was so important. It's so fitting to get three in a row and make history. Of course, Jordan was there celebrating with the pit crew and everyone.
How much is Jordan involved in this?
Well,
does
he owns
he do
half
any of the
car.
Picking?
I don't know. He co-owns the car.
With how many people?
I don't know. He co-owns it. So would you say it's two owners? Or I mean, there's another owner, Denny Hamlin, who also is a driver for Joe Gibbs Racing. So
Joe Gibbs has been in racing for a while. That,
yeah.
I know.
Did you know Michael Jordan was involved in NASCAR?
I did not. I didn't know he was kind of a Magic Johnson type.
Yeah. Big Hub, I was confused when I heard Michael Jordan's names mentioned and all the memes mentioned with Jordan. Yeah, I was confused at that too. That I was watching ESPN this morning. It was like he three-peats again. Well, maybe Jordan's found his footing here on the NASCAR side of things. 18 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Coming up next, Mike, let's talk about George Payton. George Payton is due a contract extension. Are you giving him a contract extension? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
This is a fascinating story because George Payton made two of the biggest mistakes in Broncos history, Michael, and he recovered by not only swallowing some pride and working with Sean Payton, who in this fascinating story in the Denver Post, there were a lot of reservations with Sean Payton as far as how could he trust a guy like George Payton and to work as closely with the GM as he worked as closely with the GM back in New Orleans. There was a concern there. I was concerned. I thought when Sean Payton was hired, that would spell the end of days for George Payton. And now we're talking about a contract extension. Let's talk about GP coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. Let me tell you guys, coming up, the Boys and Girls Clubs of Weld County. Join them for a night of celebration and impact at the 44th Annual Elegant Night Gala. Enjoy a wonderful night, an elegant evening, honoring this year's champion of youth, Lori and Ellie Duran, here from the 2026 Youth of the Year, and support local programs that empower local kids to thrive. You got sponsorships available, tables available, individual tickets are now available. Visit bgcweld.org/elegant night. All funds go directly to supporting the Boys and Girls Clubs of Weld County. Again, that website, bgcweld.org/elegant night. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Michael, after, you know, when George Payton came to Denver, he was like an assistant to the regional manager in Minnesota, assistant GM. Came to Denver, inherited a bad football program, a bad football program that was trying to figure out what life was like, and this trust, ownership was still up in the air. George came in, Vic Fangio was the head coach at the time, and he gave Vic Fangio a year, then moved on, and then hired Nathaniel Hackett. In that same process, went and traded for Russell Wilson, got a king's ransom, had to give up a king's ransom to get him, and then gave him the contract extension that they ultimately ended up eating. Russell Wilson's $242.6 million contract, and they ended up swallowing the largest single dead cap space figure in NFL history. Would you consider Nathaniel Hackett, one, not just for the Broncos, but one of the worst coaches in NFL history? Probably, right? If you get fired before your first year ends.
I mean, there were some red flags. There were some red flags before the season, and we're not right. Just talking about him saying Han Solo.
Would you consider that to be one of the worst coaches in NFL history at this time right now?
Not as bad as you know, Josh McDaniels.
Or Urban Meyer.
Yeah, Urban Meyer was pretty bad.
Pretty bad. Hackett was just kind of incompetent in some areas. Urban Meyer was just kind of a jerk. So you hire arguably one of the, let's just say one of the worst coaches ever to do it. Now, he could still redeem himself and become a head coach someday, and then this would be a terrible blip on the radar. I don't see that coming anytime soon. But George Payton hires arguably one of the worst coaches in NFL history, certainly in Broncos history. And I think he's worse than Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels at least won some games. I think his first season they were 8-8, Mike. So I'm going Hackett there. I know he torched the organization, but
drafted Tebow. We're not. He's worse than him as far as Broncos coaches. But if we're talking overall, if we're talking about body of work, Josh McDaniels is worse.
But I'm just talking about Broncos history.
Broncos history, yes. Hackett's worse.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Okay, George goes and hires a guy like that. Then he goes and trades for Russell Wilson, which nobody disagreed with that move, by the way. We were all for it.
Even Seattle was for it.
Yeah, which also was a red flag. A lot of Seattle people were like, here you go. Please, take him off of our hands.
My nephew, who was like 13 at the time, who was a Seahawks fan, was like, yeah, we're all for that.
Yeah, it should have been a big red flag when we were starting to see all the ESPN articles coming out that there was so much drama going on between Russell Wilson and,
everyone.
Pete Carroll and everyone in the organization. And that Russ and Marshawn Lynch didn't even have each other's cell phone numbers. Like, that stuff obviously was starting to become a red flag. And then we find out later that, you know, Russell Wilson's agency really put the pressure on George Payton. Essentially like, hey, make sure you get this contract extension done. Or you're going to have a really unhappy player. And there's a big argument to be made. Should George have fought harder and said, I don't care, we're not giving you the contract extension until we see this dude play some football for us. But he didn't. So two of the moves that were probably two of the worst moves in Broncos history, Mike. George Payton was dead man walking. Then he trades a first round pick to go get Sean Payton. And even then it was like, did you just trade a first round pick for a coach that might come in who we believe is going to call a lot more shots than a regular head coach? Did you just dig your own grave with that kind of a move? So when Sean comes in, he was, even though it was George Payton that traded for him, Luca Evans outlines this in the Denver Post, that Sean Payton needed some time, you know, right when he became the head coach in 2023, he wanted some time to feel out George Payton, to figure out if that was going to be a good working relationship, which also goes to show you that when the Broncos made that hire, it was also ownership saying to Sean, yeah, man, we're giving you the keys, kind of. George is kind of in your passenger seat, depending on the situation. One of you will drive, one of you will be in the passenger seat. Obviously, at that point, Sean had heard everything. He hired Hackett. Sean obviously didn't like any of the things that was going on. Not just the on-the-field stuff with Hackett, but the giving Russell Wilson the office, allowing Russell Wilson to have his own like quarterback guru hanging around that wasn't actually on the team, payroll. Hackett let a lot of stuff go. So Sean, knowing all of this, worried about that, actually reached out to a longtime mutual friend and an NFL insider, Jay Glazer. You all know Jay Glazer. He reached out to him to get his thoughts on George Payton before this relationship could really even take hold. Glazer told the Denver Post, he told Luke Evans as he was building this column. Glazer said, I've seen a ton of GMs backstab the head coach and vice versa. And George has always had Sean's back, always. And that's so valuable, especially when you're going to try and make a lot of changes in the place. So there was good news coming from Glazer to Sean Payton, like, hey, George is well-respected. He likes to surround himself with people he can trust, a lot like Sean Payton. So now fast forward, and George is now up for a contract extension, which he'll probably get. I mean, you think about some of the moves, you know, drafting Patrick Surtain, drafting Nick Bonito. Now, again, some of this goes in with Sean Payton as well, but drafting Riley Moss, who turned out to be a really good football player.
Bo Nix.
Yeah. Which one could argue that was really Sean. But yeah, it's going to go on George Payton's resume, right?
I think you're right about that. I'd say 50-50.
Yeah. I mean, and George, when he got there, like, he was in a weird spot. He inherited Vic Fangio. He traded for quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. So he had some weird moves there. He traded Bradley Chubb to the Dolphins for draft picks, and there were just a lot of like survival type moves I think George Payton had to make on top of the really catastrophic moves that he made, but since has recovered beautifully.
I've gone on record as being Team Teddy the year he was competing for the starting job.
I was on
board for him. I think you needed a quarterback like that. You had a lot of garbage in the past, and you needed someone who was kind of steady, who would hopefully get you some wins, and he still didn't get him some wins. Neither quarterback got them wins because you maybe didn't have the right coach, the right coordinators, the right overall talent on the field.
Yeah, I think that job was a very difficult task. Now it would be a much more appealing job. But when George came in, Mike, it was, you know, John Elway was giving himself a bump. But, you know, basically not a pay raise or anything, but, you know, he was getting a promotion out of making any decisions. And that was still in the midst of all this trust stuff, man. Like, you didn't know what the future was going to look like. I doubt he knew at the time the Walmarts were looking to come in and pay top dollar, right? I think at that point it was, you just wanted a general manager job. So then he comes over here and he tries to put his own stamp on it and hire Nathaniel Hackett, which was a terrible move, turns out. And you know, obviously on top of that was the Russell Wilson. That whole year could be summed up as one of the worst portions of Broncos history. And then Sean comes in and they're going to fight through, hey, okay, I'll do this, but you give me 1 year with Russ, and if I don't like what I'm seeing, we're going to be, you know, fit to ready to move on. And that's also George coming in saying, yeah, I'm ready to admit that I was 100% wrong, and this is going to go down as a major failure. And then fast forward to a couple of years, you're playing in the AFC Championship game, Mike. Don't you think that it was Sean, that if this would have been anywhere else, the general manager would have been fired as well? You have to wonder how much play, how much influence Sean had with Broncos ownership, who absolutely loved him and signed off on trading for him. Sean had to have painted George in the right light to ultimately keep him around.
Not just him, but also I think he probably, the decisions he's made as far as draft, as far as going, okay, I hired a bad coach, firing him now. You know, I hired a bad quarterback. I'm on board with just eating the entire salary and starting over now. I think he made up for, and I don't know if it was Sean Payton or if it was both Paytons.
I think it's both Paytons. I mean, George is going to get so much credit. He not only signed Patrick Surtain, but he's on his second contract. He signed he drafted Quinn Meinerz, who's on his second contract. Drafted Nick Benito, who's on his second contract.
And that contract isn't as bad as it for the Broncos as it could be.
Yeah, no, I think you look at those. The fact that you're retaining those kind of those three dudes are three of the best players in the NFL: Patrick Surtain, Quinn Meinerz, and Nick Benito.
And you could say for coaching, Nick Benito, a lot of times players, they sign a contract and immediately go in the toilet. Benito hasn't. So you could say for Sean Payton has, you know, coached really well.
That Sean has? Yeah. There's a little hiccups, but I think overall he's coached really well. I mean, this is why I was trying not to completely destroy him for the fourth and one thing. Because without Sean Payton, you're not here. I mean, I think without Sean Payton, George Payton's probably done already. Is that fair to say? But that's George Payton's move.
I think some of these moves are a combination. Probably the eating of the contract, of Russell Wilson's contract, is probably a 50-50 thing. I mean, we normally think, oh, that's Sean Payton decided to do that. It's probably a little bit of both. Both of them in a room going, yeah, we got to start over.
The general manager, it's not – a lot of people have a picture of a general manager just sitting cross-armed and they I like that player. Let's make room. You guys make room, whatever it takes. The general manager is the one doing those things. He's the one going through the budget and going through the salary cap and what makes sense and who can we move on from and how does that work. That's not just a, hey – to my little salary. Yes, he has a staff to go through that with him, but he's sitting right there, you know, going through line item by line item, trying to find what makes sense. And I guarantee you, Sean is much more like that general manager that we picture. This is who I'd like to get. This is what I'd like to do. Sean's not the one doing it. I want to get rid of Russell Wilson. What does that look like? George and his staff are the ones figuring that out. And how can we keep our heads above water when, by rights, they shouldn't have? Nobody expected Denver to do a damn thing year one with Bo Nix as the quarterback. That would be year two for Sean, because you are in such a terrible position that you can't get players. Somehow they found a way to do it, and they got some great defensive players. I mean, they did some fancy feet moves, man, to stay above water. Not just to stay above water. They've been a playoff team in both years. In both years where they were in cap hell with Russell Wilson, they were a playoff team. And the first year, they lost to the Bills. Second year, they redeemed that, getting the first round bye and then winning the second round against the Bills and going to the AFC Championship, unfortunately losing their quarterback. But that almost overrides, maybe it does, the fact that you recovered from one of the worst cap hell situations in NFL history, the fact you recovered and made the playoffs both of those years, it's phenomenal to me. He's probably not going to get a lot of cred as far as general manager of the year or executive of the year.
They never do.
Well, especially when your coach is Sean Payton.
Yeah, it always goes to the coach. But when you have a coach and a general manager who are on the same page, because, you know, like with the Nuggets, coach and general manager weren't on the same page.
Right, and that's the opposite of what I thought would happen. I thought Calvin Booth and Michael Malone would work out for years. It wasn't until we went to a media day 2 years ago where they, for the most time, they were showing up doing their press their opening press conference together, and then at the beginning of last year, they came out individually. So you started. Again, it was a weird thing in my brain, like, that's odd. I wonder why they're not coming out speaking like they did last year, where they're both together answering questions. Well, a lot of that is because they probably had two different opinions on how to run the Nuggets roster, so let's not put them both up there at the same time and make that awkward. I don't know if that's really the case, but it was odd.
I mean, that kind of reminds you of Moneyball, where you have the GM signing all these players and the coach, the manager going, I'm going to play these players. And then the GM finally having to pull rank and do something about it, trading a player.
Yeah, and fortunately or unfortunately, the NBA makes it a lot more complicated to do that nowadays. So you can't just willy-nilly move pieces around. I thought that would be something. I'll tell you this. When Sean Payton was hired and came over to the Broncos in 2023, right, Mike? That I would have never predicted that Calvin Booth and Michael Malone, one or both of them would be gone before George Payton. Never would have predicted that. If we would have done some kind of a buy or sell or a poll question, which GM's going to last longer with their respective teams, Calvin Booth or George Payton, I would have 100% said Calvin Booth.
You know me, the diehard Broncos fan.
What?
I agree. I figured the Nuggets wouldn't get rid of both of their guys before the Broncos get rid of their guy who made three crucial mistakes in his first couple years.
Yeah, you would say George Payton's moves, those two bad moves, were way worse than anything Calvin Booth did. I mean, yeah, giving Zeke Nagy a contract extension turned out to not be so great, but that's nothing compared to what the Broncos dealt with Russell Wilson. But when I say dealt with, they dealt with it. And they made the playoffs in both years without Russ. Russ has been a journeyman quarterback.
I think he saved his job with the draft. The draft is the number one reason he saved his job. The number two reason he saved his job is how well he works with Sean Payton. And the number three reason he's saved his job is how well he's working with the cap situation.
100%. They found ways to do it.
So he's...
I mean, just look at these...
He made three really horrible mistakes and has turned it around with three, I would say, better decisions or overall area
look at these draft
than
picks.
His mistakes.
Look at these draft picks. 2021, Patrick Surtain. Nailed it and re-signed him. Javonte Williams probably should have nailed it.
Good year before the injury.
Yeah, and then he goes to Dallas, and now he just got re-signed by Dallas, and they're good. Quinn Meinerz in the third round, home run. Baron Browning was pretty good. Jonathan Cooper was drafted in the seventh round, Mike.
That's a find.
Next year, Nick Benito. One of the best players in the NFL. Greg Dulcich. Damari Mathis had his moments. Uwazu Rike had his moments. Luke Wattenberg in the fifth round.
That worked
out pretty good.
Go Dogs.
Marvin Mims. Riley Moss was a third rounder. All pretty good players, Mike.
Marvin Mims needs to be utilized more, but he has so much talent, especially on special teams. But you put him in the mix more. Like, the Broncos need more of a downfield threat.
Yeah, well,
Marvin Mims can be that.
Well, maybe they find, let George Payton cook again, see what he can find in this year's draft. 44 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Time to play the game.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say George Payton was playing the game. Because the draft picks before he got there, when John was still running the show, Jerry Jeudy was their first round pick, Mike, in 2020. And you go down the list, and it's like Lloyd Cushenberry there, Albert Okwuegbunam, Justin Sternad there. That's still an Elway guy. Before that, it was Noah Fant, Dalton Reisner, Drew Lock. I mean, just a lot more misses and not enough big hits for Elway compared to what George Payton has done.
Dalton Reisner was pretty decent.
He was pretty decent, yeah, but also a part of the bad. They were bad.
Yeah.
You know?
Overall bad. He was hit and miss on the draft picks, especially quarterback, which you don't want to be that bad. But for the most part, his free agent signings, even as quarterback, was bad. And then his coaching hires were bad.
Except for Gary Kubiak, right? I mean, he hired John Fox. I guess that was a good hire.
Yeah, John Fox and Gary Kubiak, and then...
Then it was Vance, and then it was Vic Fangio. 12:50 the time. We'll wrap up hour number two. Whole show pressure cooker making its triumphant return coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Do not miss it. Who's in your whole show pressure cooker tonight? We got the Avs in action. We got the Bears in action. We got the Nuggets in action. Who's rising to the top as far as must perform? We'll be right back.
Dudes, one mission, to provide the best morning radio in Colorado. Good Morning NoCo, weekdays 6 to 10, on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for The Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
You know, for a long time, I was always calling the Eaton Country Club, Northern Colorado's hidden gem of a golf course. And I don't think I can call it that anymore. I think it's just a gem. More and more people know of just how great it is, whether you are a stud golfer like Derbs or you're me, who just likes to be outside and saying we're playing golf. You don't feel the pressure out there. And they have some of the best greens in Northern Colorado. Always great deals and specials going on. But hey, you're interested in becoming a member? Check them out at eatoncc.net. I'm sure we're going to be out there very soon, and I'm going to try to prove that golf can be my game. And who better to do that with than the great folks at the Eaton Country Club? All right, coming up next, Mike, we're getting to the whole show pressure cooker. It's a big Monday night as the UNC Bears are playing their final regular season game, and they're still jockeying for position as far as the standings go in the Big Sky Conference. The Nuggets are playing Utah tonight, a game that they absolutely have to win. Starting to worry, though, man, about Cam Johnson. We'll play back a clip from him after yesterday's game, and he does not sound like he is in the right headspace at this point. How much pressure can you really put on a guy like Cam at this stage? Either way, we'll get to it. The whole show pressure cooker coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.